News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Israeli forces have reportedly reached the centre of the southern Gazan city of Rafah and seized a strategically important area overlooking the nearby border with Egypt. And Alistair Bunkle, Sky's Middle East news correspondent, joins us now. Good morning to you, Alistair. Tell us, what is the latest from Rafah? We're hearing conflicting reports, obviously Israel denying certain things have happened. Hamas, and we will be speaking to Hamas very shortly, Hamas saying something completely different. What is your, I suppose, take on what's going on currently?
Well, I mean, there's a number of things that have gone on. Firstly, let's take the presence of Israeli military in central Rafah. That has been corroborated by our own sources in Gaza. So that is quite a symbolic moment yesterday to see Israeli tanks right in the center of Rafah City. Why does that then not cross Joe Biden's red line? Well, the Americans would argue that this is not a full-scale military operation in Rafah. You don't see thousands of Israeli troops sweeping through the city. And the Israelis would say what they're doing is a far more limited sort of targeted operations as and when. Now, you know, we can quibble about who has the right point there, but that is how the politicians on that side would see it. Then there are still many airstrikes going on in and around Rafah. There was another one yesterday just south of the Mwasi humanitarian zone, which doesn't seem to have got quite the international coverage as the one on Sunday night, but killed, we understand, at least 20 people. I mean, personally, I have seen videos coming out from our teams there and, you know, counting a number of bodies, many of them women and children. So those airstrikes are continuing. And then we also have fighting up in the north as well.
OK, obviously, Israel have denied some of those strikes and some of those attacks as being their responsibility. But that would not be your, I suppose, interpretation of what you have seen. And obviously, that's exactly why we want to speak to you, Alistair, is to get proper, I suppose, reporting on what is actually going on.
So Israel has denied that the strikes occurred within humanitarian zones. And from our detailed assessment of the images, geolocating them, etc., I think they are correct. But I think that also doesn't necessarily address the realities on the ground. Yes, you've got designated humanitarian zones, but they are, for the most part, pretty inadequate in terms of the facilities there, and not everybody can fit into them. So if you look at the strike outside Rafah on Sunday night that killed around 45 people, it wasn't a humanitarian zone, but there were hundreds, if not thousands, of tents in that locality. And so when the IDF hit what they say were two senior Hamas commanders, there were lots of civilians around about. Now, Israel is saying what happened, in their opinion, is a Hamas weapon storage was close by. That was ignited by the IDF strike, and that was what then caused the fire to rip through the camps. Okay. We don't know whether that's true or not.
Okay. It strikes me from the outside looking in that these are sort of semantics on the part of Israel, that they're dancing on the head of a pin saying these aren't humanitarian zones, but they're cheek by jowl with humanitarian zones. And people appear, from reports we're seeing, to be sort of sheltering everywhere because there's nowhere for them to go.
The head of the pin they're dancing on is the head of international law, if you like. So, you know, what Israel is saying in many parts might well be accurate and might well justify their actions within the boundaries of international law. And that is an important position for them to put themselves in when you have the ICJ and the ICC both pursuing separate cases against Israel. So that's all very well. And it could be that Israel is absolutely accurate in what it is arguing. But as I said, you also have the reality on the ground. And the reality is that there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of displaced people. And so therefore, carrying out airstrikes in these areas comes with it huge risk. as we have seen tragically over the last 72 hours.
You mentioned the ICJ and the ICC. The order to halt operations in Rafah that we saw earlier on in the week, is that putting pressure on Israel? I mean, they're ignoring it currently, but is it putting pressure on them to change policy? Do you feel that it is a line that they are at least paying attention to? We're also seeing that reports that they've been attempting to undermine the ICC, the International Criminal Court, for at least a decade, yeah. It looks like, with sort of subterfuge and espionage and various kind of, spying-like operations.
I don't think that ICJ ruling on Friday, which effectively ordered them to halt operations, although, you know, again, you can look into the semantics of the language, which is what the Israelis are doing and spinning it, saying it wasn't as categorical as that. I don't think it's having an effect at the moment for a number of reasons. America hasn't yet really sort of said what its position on it is, and we will probably find that out when it goes to vote in the UN Security Council, perhaps as early as this afternoon, maybe not, and where America sits with that. And secondly, for all the condemnation from the likes of European countries, the EU, President Macron, the Italians, the Germans, condemnation is one thing, you know, in tweet form.
Yeah.
Israel's not going to listen to that. It will only really be swayed and altered in its direction if policy changes are made. So, for example, if the EU were to take out sanctions against Israel, which they are talking about, then that might have an effect.
Okay. So in your view, unless something concrete happens, these other things are largely performative in terms of how Israel will view them.
Well, let me give you an example. I think the Israeli operations in Rafah right now are much more low-key than they would have liked, because Hamas, I'm sure, would disagree with this, as many Palestinians might, but they're certainly not the sort of full-scale blitz that we saw in Khan Yunis and Gaza City. Why? Maybe because the Americans threatened to withhold arms from them. So the Israelis can be swayed, but only when there is something hanging over that could affect them.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Alistair Bunkle, Sky Middle East news correspondent.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.